watched the sudden change plays, first downs, a couple run plays. Do you regret being a conservative?
You're talking about like the 4 minute situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know there's the first one, I think we ran the ball twice. The last one, we ran it and then we threw it. You know, you look back at that, the 4 minute situation, there's a lot of time management discussions, you know, the questions that we had going into it, because they had three timeouts at the time. So, you know, we've talked about that in OTAs and training camp, that we've got to be able to be a team that can run it when they know we're going to run it. And that's what we didn't get done yesterday. You have to do that just to try to get – so they use their timeouts, and really we're looking to get a first down. Now, it's not to say you won't throw it on third down, but, you know, we really wanted to strain our guys. That we, you know, this is a must time. We've got to be able to run the ball here.
Been able to run it at all up until that point, maybe one or two plays. Does that – how much does that shift your thinking in those situations? Hey, it's been a struggle all day. Let's maybe take a shot.
Sure. Yeah, and I think, you know, when you're looking at getting to manageable situations, you know, if it was first and 10, and then it got to second and 6, and then it got to third and 3, and then, you know, you do something off of that, you know, to put yourself in better position. Because when we're down in third and 3s and third and 4s, we're much better, obviously, than third and 10s like we were prior to this game. So that was the idea, to run the ball to get us into a manageable third and down.
Overall, that you stand by Greg's calls on that?
Yeah.
Looking at the running game over the last three games, has it constantly been the same problem in the NFL?
You know what? There's some things like targeting and how we do our scheme that we need to clean up. You know, there's times – I just showed about 60 plays to our players, you know, and everything that we've been talking about. And, you know, there's times where you see it. You know, early in the game, there might be times where you get 3 yards, 4 yards, 2 yards, and you hope that as the game goes on that you break out one that's 13 yards or 14 yards. And we had some of those early in the game, but we just didn't finish with it. You know, in an opportunity like that four-minute situation that Ryan was just talking about, those are the times you've got to be able to run the ball, even if they load up the box. Now, the question could be, do you get big to run or do you spread them out to run? You know, that's a good discussion. You know, that's the discussion we've had.
A follow-up on that, do you miss not having a fullback? I mean, it's sounds like it's an excuse, but
right.
Would you like some more muscle?
I think not having Ben Koyak kind of changed our line of thinking going into it. You know, a situation like that, sometimes you get three tight ends in the game and you get a little bit bigger. So without Ben, it changed our line of thinking some.
Did you see guys just not winning their one-on-ones?
I would say if you look at the penetration hurt us. You know, you saw more purple jerseys on our side of the ball than we anticipated. And sometimes that can happen with zone schemes, but it was just happening too frequently.
Defensive plan against the Ravens worked, but you had three or four major penalties that kept drives alive. How frustrating is that, and how do you correct it? Because it seems like it's happening every single week.
Well, you know, the total number of penalties went down. The total number of foolish penalties went down, but we still had some. You know, here it is, a two-minute situation, and we get a, you know, hand to the face of the quarterback. You know, we had hands to the face with Dante. You know, so you're right. We still that was, like I said, a big emphasis in there that – you know, sure, it went down from where we were, but it's still not good enough. We're still having these situations come up in critical times.
What was different about this team meeting? You said it was a little longer. What were you trying to impress upon?
Well, I think, you know, we went through a bunch of plays. And just the big point is consistency, and it's a game of inches. And there's times like, for example, Blake, where you see great accuracy, multiple times. His completion percentage was 63%. That's improving to where it was in the past. But it's also a game of inches. There's a third down situation where it's just off the fingertips of Allen Robinson, overthrew Marquise Lee, you know, a little bit. It's those things. We had one, Telvin Smith made three great plays, and then there's one where he dropped a little bit too far and allowed a completion to happen. And that was the big message that I was pointing out to them, that the NFL it's a game of inches, and you have to do it consistently. And we're not doing it. We're not making enough of those consistent plays in those times.
Are they still
conversation with Blake at all?
Yes.
His body language after the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? He's hurting. There's no doubt about it. You know, he puts a weight on his shoulders, and you know, like any quarterback. I mean, if there's blame, that's, you know, he's going to be his own worst critic, and if there's criticism, he's going to accept that. And, you know, so he's put a lot on him right now because he knows that he wants to play better and give more to this team. But, you know, like we pointed out in the team meeting, there's multiple good plays there. It's everybody. I mean, it wasn't just Blake or Telvin or, I mean, it's Jalen Ramsey. It was multiple guys that we pointed out just how important these little things are.
Wait. Did you have a conversation with him about his body language at the game's end? You know, coming off the field, leaving the field with 15 seconds to go, hurling the mouth guard into the stands? You didn't?
No.
Does he not look right to you on the field? It seems like he's maybe hesitating a little bit.
Well, when you take a look at the whole game and you point it out, you know, like I took out plays and just said, let's look at his accuracy. And you pulled out a bunch of plays. And, you know, when you watch it that way, you see some great throws and some great plays. He extended plays, made some plays by extending it. He got out of the pocket, made some plays. Critical third and two to Allen Robinson, right where it needs to be. So when you look at those things, I can see why it was 63%. But I think, like everybody, you want more from everybody. And, you know, I think for him, he looks and there's missed opportunities out there for explosive plays. We only had three explosive plays on offense. You know, that's not who we are. And when you take a look at him, it wasn't that the routes weren't designed. There were opportunities for explosive plays. We just missed them.
Just get a sense that he's at a crisis of confidence at any
point? No, nothing like that.
What about his mechanics? Are those as clean as they were last year?
Well, his accuracy is up. Okay. You know, his accuracy is up. So, you know, I think it's just, I'm hoping that he isn't at is where he's trying to put it all on him and it's created some anxiety and now he's pushing himself or, you know, now you're seeing some inconsistencies at times. You know, and that's been some of my conversation with him.
With that said, 3 years in, he's taking sacks late in crunch time, you know, losing time, losing yardage. How do you coach that out?
Well, that's right. That's situational football. And we have to understand that. Just same thing with our team. You know, we have to find ways to win. Really, you look back at the Green Bay, San Diego game was bad. Not even go back there. But Green Bay, when you're on the 14-yard line and it's third and two, you have a chance to win the game. And then Baltimore, you have two opportunities inside the 40 to win the game. You get a first down and let's kick a field goal. If that's the worst-case scenario, that's the part that our team has to learn. And that part right there could very easily have swung in our favor, but it didn't, and there's a reason for it. And that's what I think this meeting was about, to say, you got to figure this out now. These are the reasons why, and, you know, let's point them out on film.
Were you aware that the quarterback do that? I mean, the quarterback in this league seems to get you over that hump in those situations.
He can. Everybody can. The offensive line, you know, can do it too. You know, I think everybody takes responsibility into it. It can be a receiver, it can be offensive line, it could be a quarterback. But it's probably going to fall more on the quarterback.
Were you aware, Gus, that Blake left the field early?
Left the field early to go in the locker room?
Were you aware of that at the end of the game?
No.
I know it was a very intense and very private conversation that you had with him in the locker room yesterday. But we were all in there and observed that. Without breaking any of that confidence, can you give us kind of the tone of what you were trying to tell Blake at the time?
No, I was just seeing how he was doing and, you know, giving my unwavering support for him.
Second to last in 25-yard passes this year, led the league in that last year. Are you guys, is it just not there, or is he so concerned about
getting completion? Well, that's a big part of that. The explosive passes, you know, your percentage of scoring goes up when you get explosive plays, whether it's run or pass in a series. So that's going to be a big part of what we do. And when you watch the tape and watch the film, you're going to see opportunities that were out there. And we just didn't hit them.
So unwilling to take some of those shots?
No, not unwilling.
So you don't see him, you don't see his aggressiveness disappear?
No, not at all. And that's also one thing I pointed out. Blake Bortles has no fear. He will take some chances. He did it in the red zone with Allen Hurns, threw it on the goal line in the one pass where Weddle broke up. Those are all good things. He continues to be aggressive. He continues to try to extend the play to make plays happen. That part of it and confidence level is there. I just, you know, he feels bad because he, you know, wanted to put it on his shoulders and, you know, himself. And, You know, he felt like he let the team down and didn't give them everything that he had to offer. But that's like everybody in that locker room. That's like the coaching staff as well.
You've been around this a long time. How's the, you know, you just had a meeting. How's the locker room? Nobody expected this to be 1-3.
Right. Right. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say they're great, you know, because they're not. They're hurting. And, you know, the text, you know, that you receive, the talking, the conversation that you have with the players, I have no doubt how they're going to approach this. I say that with all confidence.
So when Dante jumped over the tackle and was called for leverage, was he not aware of the rule, caught up in the moment? What was it?
A little bit caught up in the moment. He was aware of a rule that you can't do that. You know.
Well, I guess the direct question is, he had been coached that's illegal.
Yeah, he knew you couldn't jump over and use somebody to extend yourself over. And if you make contact, it's a foul. So heat of the moment. Passionate, still no excuse. You know, you've got to be able to play with poise.
As you talked about Blake's improved accuracy, can you explain at all how he only has 3 first quarter touchdowns in his career? I mean, do you have any understanding or explanation as to why that continues?
No, I think we all look at that. You know, here defensively, I felt like we started fast. You know, the first opportunity was in the logo area, and we got a 3-and-out. And then the second opportunity, they were backed up. We got a 3-and-out. That's starting fast. That's great signs defensively. Offensively, the first 5 drives, we had like 60 yards total offense, you know, out of 22 plays. That's not starting fast. So, you know, you constantly look at, you're trying to establish the run game. We took some shots in those plays, you know, but it comes back to, I think, third down is a big part of it as well. And we missed on some third downs to extend the drive.
Fourth down for Baltimore at midfield that last drive. Gratz was lined up ahead of the marker. What the call was there?
The fourth down that they converted? Yeah, we're in man coverage.
Do you need Gratz to be more aggressive there?
Yeah, we'd like to see the whole defense be more aggressive there.
Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that the fans are using the word accountability a lot as they use to assign blame, because it's a word that you use a lot of times. Is there an example, without giving away any trade secrets, how with a member of your staff or a player's team that you've held them accountable specifically, that you can mention to them saying, hey, we're enforcing this?
Well, you know, I think we try to keep what we do inside on the inside, but we just did a 60-play cut-up with the whole team. So.
Like, if you've ever said, player, hey, you didn't do this on the field, you're benched for this play or this series or something like that?
Without indulging too much into it.
I
think that when you point out penalties, you point out missed opportunities, or you point out things to the players, and they understand that. I mean, that's my job to do that. And so, you know, we have that's all the time in position meetings and team meetings and things like that are taking place. So. You know, it's always, I mean, those players understand it, but for everybody to see it was important.
We're hearing from a frustrated fan base asking for changes at all levels of the organization. Anything you can say to the fans who are frustrated during this time?
Well, I understand the NFL is very passionate, and they're passionate for their passionate fan base for our team. And no one wants to get it right more right than us, you know, and the coaches and the players you know, we're doing everything we can, and we got to find more. As I said last night, we got to extract more from everybody. And, you know, but clearly understand what they're looking for, you know, and we've got to find ways to help this team understand what it takes to win.
You guys talked a little bit about the impact that Taz and Telvin Smith had, and you guys did a much better job of stopping the run yesterday and setting up more third and long situations for them.
Right, yeah, both those two guys are playing at a high level. A really high level. Puz had another double-digit tackle game and an interception. Telvin is the one, too, that I think he's really grown. I think he's got a real high comfort level in what's asked of him. He's playing extremely fast on the field, and those two guys are playing really well right now.
Gus, do you have enough veterans in your locker room who understand the nuance between winning and losing in the NFL to pass that on to a lot of your young players?
Yeah, I think they do a good job of it. But I think that's what this meeting was about, too, just to ensure that we understand.
That there is a small step between that and 2 of the 3 of your games.
It is, you know, and, you know, to look back and say, oh, we could have been or should have been, you know, I'm not into looking in the past very much like that. But to point out the opportunities, And, you know, you'd like to see this team, when you're in those situations, take ownership and say, let's roll. And, you know, a guy like Brandon Linder is a strong presence in our offensive line, a very, very strong presence. I don't know if we missed that presence yesterday. But if you do, then someone's got to step up and be that presence.
Anticipate Linder and Beecham playing this week?
We'll see. I know they're, been meeting with the trainers. They made pretty good progress last week. So I know Beecham's still in the concussion protocol.
And Audrick?
Audrick is more week to week. We'll see with him.
How does Shatley and Reed do?
Shatley did a good job for, some of the things you could see with the penetration came in that, more in the A gaps. But overall, for going in there and his first opportunity to play, did a good job. I mean, with the protections and calling out some of the schemes that we were doing. But, just needs to improve.
And looking to extract more from your players, like you said, is there anything that you're still seeing on the practice field that isn't getting translated on the game day field?
There is some things on the practice field that we're seeing that aren't showing up in the game field. And I think we're playing pretty consistently on the practice field. I think of defensively, though, I think it is. I think that what we're seeing on the practice field is showing up on the game field. Yesterday, for example. Offensively, some of the things we're seeing on the practice field are showing up, some of that inconsistency. And, last week we addressed that and went through it. And, but there's, we got to continue to work. We saw improvement, but still not to the standard we need.
Is it time at all to sprinkle in any big picture message like Kansas City was 1-5 last year, made the playoffs, or is it still just one game at a time?
Well, I think the big picture is we got to win now. We've got to find a way, and but it still goes back to our process. It still goes back to what does it take to get this. We can all sit here and talk about we got to win, we must win, we got to. All right, that's great, but what do we need to do here? What do we need to do today? What do we need to do tomorrow? And, that part of it. And that's what this team is still learning and coming together on. And, we just got to keep challenging them.
How tough is it to separate for you personally? You see some signs, but they're 0-3. How much patience does my owner have? I mean, how do you put this in separate compartments and not let it?
From Dave and Chad, I've got great support. So that part, I don't worry about. Right now, my whole attention is to, I just think of it. It'd be selfish to think of me or anybody else other than those players in the locker room and our coaching staff.
How does the coaching keep Blake from putting too much on himself offensively when not able to run the ball? The only way to move it really is.
Well, I do think running the ball would help him, obviously. It would take some pressure off him. I think sometimes when you can run the ball, it opens up some of those play passes. We had a play action pass yesterday, the interception they had, and the linebacker got 20 yards deep. They're not honoring the run, very much. So then it's tough to run play passes when they're not honoring the run. So, again, a lot of times your explosive passes come off of play passes. So I think they go hand in hand. So I think we can take more of a burden off of him by finding a way to run the ball.
Three games haven't been able to do that, so how do you?
Well, that's what, our meetings, obviously we met a little bit offensively. Everybody was grading the film and watching it and talking, but we started those conversations, and that will be the conversations this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, and, what's the direction we're going from here?
Is there a way to just, instead of running it, use like a short passing game to kind of take some of the pressure off that run or in place of running?
Right. I think short passes, some people say it's like a run, I still think it's very important. For times like yesterday, when you're in a four-minute situation and you have to run the ball, I think it's critical that, we just got to keep going at it.
Asked you about how the players, the outlook of the players in the locker room. What about the coaching staff? How do you guys feel after you're implementing all this stuff for an entire summer and there's consistently mistakes and errors that you guys probably coach during the summer?
Well, I think the coaches they probably reiterate the same things I'm saying. It's how can we help our players play better? How can we position them to make more plays? how can we help this scheme? How can we help this? What is there different ways? Is there different things? And can we teach it differently? Can, you know, you examine everything. And they're in the same mindset. And, you know, they're in tune to our team and our players and what we can do to help them. Yeah, I thought we did a good job staying on top. They're a shot team, and you know, they like to take shots with their speed on the perimeter, and I think we stayed on top pretty well. It's you know, which we didn't the week before. I thought there's times we lost that, but you know, to see that, it's an example of something getting re-emphasized, and the guys taking ownership to it.